Now I've got Terence Flanagan, TD, on the line. Good morning, Terence.
Good morning, Pat.
How are you doing?
Very well, extremely well. Yourself, keeping well?
You know yourself. There's no point in complaining because nobody listens to you if you do. But anyway, we're here to talk about the new bike cycle pathway from Sutton that's going to, is in the process. It's either in the process of being built now or it's going to be in the process very shortly.
That's right, yeah. They actually started this week. They started on the footpath side of the park side, St. Anne's Park side, between it's effectively between the Wooden Bridge and the Causeway Road to the Bull Island. And it's the Sutton to Sandy Cove cycleway, which will be amazing when it's actually constructed. They're starting with the footpath initially and then to start on through a 2 kilometre stretch to start to construct the actual cycleway route itself, and that's going to take a period of time. Actually, it won't be constructed, that 2 kilometre piece won't be constructed till July 2016. But effectively, when it's all completed over a period of years, it's going to link Sutton in with Sandy Cove. So there will be a beautiful coastal promenade cycle right around the bay, which will be outstanding.
Okay, initially the plan was to build the cycle route from the Wooden Bridge along the seafront side, wasn't it?
Yes.
They were going to build some sort of a platform or something like that, weren't they?
That's right, yeah. They were going to have a boardwalk there, and the cost was $14 million. Now, the current cost for this 2 kilometre stretch is $7 million, so they've obviously halved it by keeping the boardwalk piece out of it. What it's actually going to do is it's going to reduce effectively the size of the road for motorists. And then the cycle lane will effectively be on the actual road that exists at the minute. You know, well, they'll be extending it out more, but they're reducing costs by actually doing it this way rather than adding in a new section through a boardwalk.
So they're going to will there be a one vehicle system in place for that section of it? Will it be narrow the road? I mean, is that going to cause any disruption for traffic?
Well, they're saying, it's something that we'll have to keep a close eye on. There will be the construction phase here, and it is going to cause disruption, and you're effectively could look at problems with only one lane in existence for periods of time, you know.
Yeah.
But I think they'll be very conscious of the fact, particularly during rush hours, to keep that as a minimum. So that's something I certainly will be raising now immediately with the council. But I suppose to put this into context, this cycleway has been promised for the last 10 to 15 years, you know. It's been talked about for a long, long time, and it's great, I suppose, that it's eventually starting to be constructed, and it will really open up, I suppose, the bay and make it safer for both cyclists and for motorists as well. And I know for cyclists that they do complain about the aggression from some motorists on the roads, you know, that they don't feel safe, and there can be a level of aggression as well when cars come close into cyclists, and naturally, you know, you're looking at problems. But when it's a dedicated cycle lane, it's a safer system for everyone all around, and it should be, I think, a real winner as well when it is fully constructed, the full 22 kilometres, because it is going to open up Dublin for huge tourism potential, I think, for cycle trips.
It'll be a great amenity.
Terence,
but listen, I'm looking at the cost of the construction. It's mentioned, it's €7 million. Just can you take myself and the listeners briefly through how it's intended to construct this? I mean, it's not a cycle lane with just the markings on the road, because that wouldn't cost anything like €7 million. So,
I know.
How will it look? How will it appear?
I haven't fully seen plans now, to be honest, and I've requested these. And there's a group called KN Group. They're working on behalf of Dublin City Council, and also they're the main contractor, I suppose. They're doing the construction works, and then there are consulting engineers as well. And effectively, there's a whole job here to be done as well, as you know, in relation to flood defence.
Yes.
And building up the existing seawalls all along that route because of obviously the concerns of flooding in the years to come with climate change and all the rest and the rising tides. So that's obviously going to be expenditure as well as just the period of time it's actually going to take to get things fully constructed and properly done. So I will get them plans and I'll put them up on my website in due course.
That's
get them to yourself.
That's not coming out of the 7 million though, is it, for the cycleway? The flood defence plan, it's not the same thing. It's not coming out of the same pot of money, is it?
Well, it would be for this period. The wall at the moment is very low along that point from the wooden bridge to the Causeway Road. So that all has to be built up.
Yeah.
And that's the same coming out of this 7 million pot of money, as well as you're going changing the road itself.
Yeah.
The layout of the road, which is there's work involved in that, obviously, and line markings and setting all that correctly and marking out then for dedicated cycle lanes. I mean, you're talking a two-way cycle path will be constructed as well along the coast, and then the walls being built up. So it's the period of time involved, I suppose. It's huge amount of manpower required in getting this right, but it will make a difference. It will look outstanding, no doubt, when it is constructed, and will make a difference and open up the coast really to cyclists actually cycling safely. Because at the moment it is very at that part, the particular part between the Wooden Bridge and the Causeway Road, cyclists are actually they're unable to navigate because a car has been parked in their way. There is no dedicated cycle path, so it can be dangerous at times for cyclists along that particular part of the cycleway. So there is going to be a bit of traffic disruption there, but it will be worth it in the long term.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm thinking, Terence? If you go out the coast road of a lovely summer's afternoon, particularly on a weekend, and I'm thinking like a bank holiday weekend, if you get the bit of weather, not that we're used to getting the bit of weather, but a couple of occasions in the past, and I'm sure an awful lot of people have decided to take a nice leisurely drive out towards Sutton and maybe Hoth on a Sunday afternoon, and maybe stop off somewhere for a bit of lunch or something and bring the kids to the playground. And the traffic backlog on that stretch of road can be absolutely horrendous. I've done it myself, and I've said several times, I'm turning back, I'm going somewhere else, because this is not worth the wait. You're sitting in traffic using petrol, and kids becoming fractious and everybody becoming fractious. So is this planned cycleway going to impact on that even worse, do you think?
Well, maybe it'll encourage people to leave the car at home and go on the bicycle instead, which would be fantastic as well, from a whole health point of view and perspective as well. Like, people, I think, are hesitant as well for cycling at the moment because they just don't feel safe on the roads, and having dedicated cycle routes will greatly improve things for people. But that's a long-standing issue, all right, and problem, because you've only one lane of traffic all the way into Hoth, into Sutton and into Hoth, coming from Clontarf. So it does back up, and the people living out in Hoth and Sutton, they're effectively caught up in their own homes as well. They can't get out of the place on good days as well, you know. So that's a long-standing issue, and I think public transport, for instance, using the Dart or being on one's bicycle, is the only way, unfortunately, around that situation. Until an extra lane of traffic would be put in place, but that's a long way away anyway. Yeah, there's no commitment or promise in that regard in doing anything on that, but it is a huge issue. I accept that, and I accept the frustration of motorists, which I'm one myself.
Okay, well, just on this topic, and we'll leave it shortly because we want to talk about something else shortly too. Senator Avril Power has also spoken about a new update for a footpath and cycle lane between Baldoyle and Port Marnock. So that's going to extend the cycleway even further, isn't that right? I mean, this is a Fingal County Council initiative. It's
that's right.
But just then it would extend it even further, and so give people
options, yeah.
Options to go further afield if they wish. So, I mean, if you're looking from Sandy Cove to Sandy Cove all the way around the coast to Sutton, and then you can cut across to Baldoyle and Portmarnock, and that would be just an amazing facility for the people of Dublin and Fingal as well to enjoy.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that's something I've campaigned on myself for many years. You can't effectively walk between Baldoyle and Portmarnock at present because it's country roads, effectively.
That's right.
And even at night time, I mean, there's no public lighting.
Deadly.
Yeah, it's absolutely deadly. Exactly.
And even for cyclists, even that stretch of road is.
It's fatal. Yeah.
You know, you're taking a huge risk. Okay, look, Terence. I know we want to move on briefly. This other press release I have. You welcomed the government plan to ban expiry dates on gift vouchers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, everyone receives gift vouchers at different times, be it birthdays or Christmas time, and on different occasions. And the worst thing of all is an expiry date on a gift voucher, because one has the habit of putting these vouchers aside with a view to spending at a later date, and sometimes you don't even get around to, you know, spending it, and you might find it then when you're doing a bit of a spring clean or whatever, and find out that there was actually an expiry date on it, that it's actually worthless at that stage. So it's anti-consumer, obviously, having these expiry dates on vouchers in the first instance. So I'm glad to see and welcome that the government's plan to ban expiry dates on gift vouchers, and it will obviously help people and ensure people who receive gifts that they actually can spend that money at a later date, you know. And companies, I suppose, have benefited by millions on a yearly basis by having these expiry dates in place. So I think it's great to see that actually being changed.
Yeah. Well, you can just visualise people. I mean, putting the thing into the back of a drawer or something and forgetting all about it and coming across it, as you said, like way too late. Yeah. But the companies who deal in the gift vouchers, surely the retailers and that could be making substantial savings on people not using the gift vouchers. I mean, isn't that right?
Well, it is, yeah, and that's what's been happening all over these years. Like, I suppose that's why they put the expiry dates on them in the first instance, with hopefully, seeing will people actually use them or will they not use them or whatever.
Yeah.
But companies have benefited absolutely by people not presenting the gift vouchers.
Yeah.
And I know myself in my own personal situation that I have laid aside gift vouchers over the years, and I've never actually used them myself, you know, and then to find out that they're completely worthless. So that can be very, I suppose, annoying, but one just has to be very conscious of these issues and keep a close eye on things. So I think when this legislation goes through, it'll be a much fairer system, really, I think, for the future.
Yeah.
Anyway, in ensuring that people, if they do receive, if they're lucky enough in getting a gift voucher, that they can actually use one to their own benefit, you know.
Yeah. Okay, well, do we have any sort of a timescale on when the government plans the ban? Will people be able to... happily think about when they get their gift vouchers this coming Christmas? I hope I'm not mentioning the word Christmas already.
But, I know,
you know, will people be able to confidently think, well, I can now use this any time I feel like, and I don't have to worry about an expiry date on it? Well, is it soon? Is it going to be soon? That's what I'm asking. You know,
I hope so, Pat. I hope so. I'm not fully 100% certain. They haven't set a date aside yet. They're just stating that legislation will be forthcoming in this regard. Now, we've heard that in the past, so it's something I certainly will be pursuing, because people are, I mean, anyone giving a gift in the first place to somebody, be it for 10, 20, 50 euros, you know, it's a lot of money.
It is,
when you're given a gift in the first instance, and then for the person on the receiving end to actually find out that it's not worth anything in the end, you know,
because
they've set it aside for a period of time and perhaps forgotten about it, and then to find it again, and then it's been of no benefit to them. So I think that's a major issue for people generally, and a bit of a bugbear for a lot of people. So I'd be pursuing it anyway to ensure that consumers basically get proper rights under consumer law in the first instance.
Okay, that's why, well, it does come under consumer rights. Okay, last question, quickly, just a quick answer from you, Terence, if you wouldn't mind. Will Renew Ireland at any time soon be making overtures to Senator Avril Power?
It's a good question, Pat. I don't know the answer to it, though.
Is there a possibility of some sort of a move in that direction then?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, the leadership of the party has always said in Renew Ireland that we're welcome to people. If the Senator Power, I suppose, was to make an application, that would be looked at and weighed up on its own merits. That's not a decision that I certainly will be making myself. That would be one for a party leader and deputy party leader. I mean, I wish Senator Power well. She certainly has made a very brave decision.
Yes.
And I suppose we don't all know the full circumstances of the situation there for her, but she clearly wasn't unhappy. She wasn't happy being with Fianna Fáil, and now she's an independent senator and will continue as an independent senator for the foreseeable future. So I very much wish her well, and that's the bridge probably that will be crossed at some future date if she's interested herself, and that the ball is in her own court in that regard.
Okay, listen, Terence, we'll let you go, but thanks very much for taking so much time out to talk to us today, and it was rather enlightening conversation, but and good luck. Good luck with the future. Thanks a million.
Thank
you.
Bye.
That was Terence Flanagan, TD of the Renew Ireland Party, talking to me about several topics there. So